Welcome to the AWOL show.
Yes, sir.
I am Jamal, and this is Brother Kelvin.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing out there?
From the Dougley Boys.
You know what's funny, bro?
What?
You talking about the intro right now, it's like that Paper Cup Boy shit from Kevin Hart.
I be watching that shit, but I never see the intro, though.
The intro is so stupid to me, bro, because it's like, it's kind of like they was trying to do or redo Real Husbands of Hollywood type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I just thought it was kind of funny, though. But anyway, man, it's good to be on the podcast again, bro.
Hell yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Just living and maintaining.
It's been a minute.
Yes, it's been a minute. Well, you have any topics for us today? Well, what did you find interesting this week?
Honestly, man, just I've been watching a lot of random videos on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
You know, like YouTube got these random videos pop up.
Yeah.
And the most interesting one I've seen so far, bro, has been about LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the irony to that, bro, I'm not even a LeBron fan. Like, yeah. I recognize greatness, you know, when it's there. Mm. And he's definitely great. I think he's better than Jordan, but he's not my favorite player.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy, man, when you win, but you still being criticized and scrutinized like you lost.
Yeah.
So it's like, what was the point of you even winning? And they're still gonna criticize you, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, so, and as a former athlete, it's like, you know how hard you work to get to that point.
And if you lose.
To even win, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he won.
And he's still getting.
And he's still getting shit.
I get that shit.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of frustrating, man. But other than that, bro.
This is where I'm guilty at. I be wanting LeBron to be too aggressive.
Yeah. But why, though? Like, cause Jordan was aggressive?
Because Kobe's my favorite player.
Okay.
Ever. And you know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He don't give a fuck if it's five people. He finna fade away on some shit.
True.
He's shooting the ball. Like, that's just him. And then, it's like, LeBron's great, too. So, I'm trying to... It's like, I expect this out of him.
Okay.
Kobe, I expect that out of him, but he's not Kobe. That's what I'm starting to learn now. He's not Kobe. Or he's not Jordan. He's really just LeBron. And LeBron is a great player. I feel like he can get some more rings.
I feel like he can too.
Because he can chill on the scoring. And actually, that's the side of the game that Jordan and Kobe really never perfected that shit.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron can literally not shoot the ball and affect the game in like so many other ways.
But you know what I find interesting? Like, you mentioned Kobe, right? Kobe is the architect of Jordan. He's Jordan.
But I feel like he's way more just raw and filthy with it.
Because he started off way before Jordan even... Look at this. Kobe Bryant didn't go to high school. I mean, they didn't go to college, right? So he came out straight out of high school and had that mentality that I'm going to be better than Jordan or I'm going to be Jordan 2.0, you know? So everything that he did was to emulate... Or even try to overpower any legacy that Jordan had because he's trying to be better than him.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's why he was aggressive as he was.
Bro, Kobe is the GOAT.
Kobe is top five,
he's
bro,
the
of all
GOAT.
Time.
To me, that's just my GOAT, man. That's a crazy dude.
Yeah.
That's a crazy dude. Think about how crazy Kobe was.
Kobe was insane, bro. Like,
he's crazy, bro. I feel like when you in LA, you got the Staples Center. Your team has won 17 championships or however many.
Now it's 17 tied with the Celtics.
They had one when he was winning his like 14, 13 other ones at the time.
Yeah. He had five to that.
Yes, he added five rings to that, bro. That's your house. Ain't nobody, Shaq not here no more.
And he would have added more if Shaq would have stayed. They would have added, I think, two more.
But they was falling because they lost when Shaq was on his way out on that last.
Yeah, they lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was when Shaq was kind of like out of his prime, though.
So, that's what I'm saying. If he would have stayed, he would have been out of his prime. But Shaq was not his prime because he went to Miami and he
Miami already had a squad. They just needed another player that could semi-dominate.
Exactly.
And Shaq that year... In 06, when they won.
Yeah, he wasn't that.
He wasn't Shaq like 03.
But he was still just Shaq. Like...
But he was still that presence that people had a fear.
I thought he was still a 20-point scorer at that time.
Most definitely, and rebounding too.
Bro, 20 points from your big man is amazing. And then you got D-Wade going crazy.
You got White Chocolate going crazy.
Yes, didn't they have Gary Payton too?
Yeah, Gary Payton come up.
They had Alonzo Mourning. Udonis Haslam.
Udonis Haslam. And
Jason Capono. Was he on that? I don't know. I forgot.
What was that nickname that was drafted in 96 also?
Alonzo Mourning.
Alonzo Mourning was like drafted in like 94.
He was?
Yeah, but
What's
his name? That he played power forward.
Udonis Haslam.
No. He was an old head though. He was like on the verge of like ending like his career, like finishing.
Real?
Yeah. Cause I remember he was drafted with Kobe, Nash, and Iverson. I just can't think of his name. But anyhow, okay. But Shaq was just the missing piece that they needed.
Yeah, and you know he gave them what they
needed. But think about it, in 07, the motherfuckers didn't make out the second or the first round.
They didn't?
No, they didn't. They got beat. I think they got beat by I want to say either Detroit,
yeah,
or a crazy ass good Orlando Magic team.
Probably Detroit,
yeah,
or Cleveland. No, they didn't play Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland was good in 07 because I think they made the playoff that year too. Yeah, in 07 they did.
I don't know. I just LeBron as the dude he is. Like, he's very family-oriented, so it's like he's easily, like, the most loved player, but he's easy the most loved player, mm-hmm. but, like, on the court, he's the most hated. Off the court, he's the most loved.
And I think that's a weird dichotomy, bro, because you want
to... Bro, no, people just want their sports how they want it. Like, it's either one way or it's not, bro. Some you either like Kobe-style of play or Jordan-style of play, or you like Magic shit. You like Magic.
You know what? I feel like that's like a weird butterfly effect, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the career of Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Kobe obviously was the embodiment of Jordan, so...
He was just basketball.
And everything they saw about Jordan, they saw in Kobe, right?
Yeah.
So they loved him for that.
Yeah.
Now here comes LeBron, who is...
And then you got the pressure of these two GOATs.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta... It's hard.
LeBron was a phenomenon. He came out of nowhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Especially in that 03 draft.
Yes.
I mean, you had
Melo. Chris Bosh.
Wade. Chris Bosh. LeBron. You had a plethora of players that was good, but LeBron was just way better.
They kind of lasted.
So it's like, in the minds of society changed.
Yeah.
They no longer want to see somebody win. They always want to have a story that can sell paper, that can sell ratings, right?
So
what can sell paper or sell ratings? Negative stories that shock America and saying, look, this guy, he was a chosen one. He can't even beat the Dallas Mavericks.
I think it's kind of bullying.
Bullying? I wouldn't say it's bullying because
I feel like it's trying to bully LeBron.
But here's the thing though. Bullying, how can it be bullying when you know it's going to happen? You can't do shit about it though, right?
What do you mean?
Because as a professional athlete, you know you're going to get criticized, right?
Yeah.
You know you're going to get scrutinized. But you are a professional. You chose that route to be in
but
the realm
it's
of
the
media.
It's the route that LeBron takes. It's easy. They be bullying the shit. Like, I'm not saying, like, in a sense. It's like they're kind of having to be like, oh, LeBron, we can't just talk to LeBron how we want to and shit like that. But they'll ask this nigga KD anything or Westbrook. Like, they get them pissed off. But when you dealing with LeBron, it's like how it started versus how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't as, like, so... They kind of choose their words wisely and shit now.
Well...
Because they tried to, like... They tried to bully this man into being that. But LeBron said, no, I'm going to keep making that play.
If it haven't worked thus far, why continue to do it? So I don't think it's no longer bullying.
Yeah, it's not bullying. It's trying to bully, was what I mean.
I just think they know it's gonna be controversial, right?
Yeah.
They know it's gonna sell papers. It's gonna be watched by people. Let me look at Skip Bayless, for example, right?
Yeah.
His whole antics, his whole personality is to hate on LeBron because everything else he talks about doesn't really reach the same hype as.
But you got to think about who he journalized. Who did he journalize?
Yeah, I get it. He journalized Jordan, so he's going to always make that comparison.
Exactly. That's it.
But here's the thing, though. Other journalists, they chronicalize Jordan's career.
But that's where they're different. Skip could be just an asshole.
But that's what I'm saying, because he knows it's going to sell overrated.
And then you got Shannon Sharp over here. He's a hell of LeBron. So that's a debate every day they got on their show. It's kind of like marketing, I feel like.
But yeah, exactly. Like, so it goes into the aspect of
that's in the put on their show. He can't let that shit go. He can't just be like, all right, I love LeBron. He's a great player. He did what he was supposed to do. I have nothing bad to say about him.
I love that, right? If you ain't got nothing good to say about somebody, just don't say anything, right? But exactly. It's not on paper. But when you make bold statements, like when Stephen A. the other day said, LeBron is on my Mount Rushmore, right? He said he's number two of all time. But he's never, and he emphasized it, he said he's never going to be better than Jordan. For you to say never, bro, you know what I'm saying? Think about that. Yeah. The operative word in there is never. That means he's never going to surpass Jordan in any
Bro, you fashion. Can just tell that's just some opinionated shit that Stephen A. got. He's not saying, like, what he needs to say is, to me, he will never be as
great as... But that's what he said. He said, because he said LeBron...
Well, that just means he likes Jordan's game way better than LeBron's.
But why say never, though, right?
Because in his mind, he's talking about him.
But remember this, when they said, oh, LeBron is never going to beat Golden State. They're never going to beat that 73-9 team. That the greatest team of all time. LeBron is never going to come back from a 3-1 deficit.
Yeah, that's crazy. And he did, right? Yeah, he did. So but that's like, that's something more factual. You can prove that. You can prove that he can beat them because he did.
But exactly. You can prove that.
But in Stephen A's mind, he's just like, this is my favorite player.
But here's the thing. If you can prove that.
Who's your favorite player?
My favorite player of all time, honestly, if I have to say, it's AI.
AI.
And Curry.
All right, so...
Curry
first. Just put yourself in Stephen A's shoes. Mm-hmm. This, like, what if they hyping up D-Wade like this? Mm-hmm. And they saying he's better than Iverson. Mm-hmm. But Iverson is your favorite player.
Yeah.
So would you say, like, yeah, this is my guy. Like, yeah. But D-Wade is... You gonna say
Allen Iverson? I see what you're saying, though, right? I see what you're saying. But for me to say is... Nobody's never going to surpass that, Kobe or Jordan or whatever, then that is a statement on his own that creates a weird I told you so moment, right? Because it's going to be an embarrassment down the line because somebody's always going to pass up somebody. It's evolution, right?
I don't think they're talking about statistic-wise. And I heard something today, bro. They said when LeBron is... I heard somebody say... It was actually Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. That nigga said when you're dealing with LeBron, sometimes the numbers do lie.
How, though?
I was like, what the fuck?
How does number lie, though?
Bro, it's like, instead of people just saying, I prefer Michael Jordan's game over LeBron's game, you got to say some stupid shit like, numbers do lie. Numbers don't ever lie. That's one thing that's stamped. Cemented.
I will say this: there's more to the story than just the number. I will say that.
Yeah.
But as far as statistics, analytical, all that shit, numbers do not lie. They tell you exactly what this player is doing.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you the backstory of how he's doing it.
I don't know, man.
When you say never, a lot of times it comes back in full circle and make you look stupid.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never gonna say AI is never going to be surpassed by somebody like, I don't know, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Or AI is never going to be surpassed by when Dwayne...
It's like, that's what I'm saying.
Never going to be infinite. There's never going to be an infinite and me actually making a finite conclusion to my ideas of who this person is. It's never going to be that. What I'm going to say is he's my favorite player, right?
Yeah.
Somebody can easily pass him up, but I still respect his game more just because he's my favorite player. So when you say never... That's
what he should have said.
That's self-TV.
He should have said that. But I don't know.
It's weird, man.
Fuck that shit, bro. I'm so tired of wrapping my head around that shit. Let's talk about something else. What did I find this week that was interesting? The presidential race. That shit look like a movie, bro. It's like, what the fuck? Bro, did you know that Joe Biden got a rap battle?
A rap battle?
Campaign. It's like, when you doing shit like that, that's corny.
Not only is it corny, but there's a hidden agenda behind it.
Why? Are you trying to get the black voters?
Yeah.
That's all you doing, bro. That shit bro, corny. Do you remember you need to get somebody black on your team, like super black, that's in touch with everything that's going on out here.
But when you do that, that's even more conspicuous that you trying to do something or you have a hidden
plan. Hey, but I'd rather you do that and then do some corny shit like that. You got a rap battle.
You know,
bro, Trump, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, this is just my thoughts. Trump, the way he strategized and the way he do shit is like he trying to like smash on Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not as gritty as that. But I do think Joe Biden can win if people just get out and vote. But
yes and no, because
bro, just hold on, I'm not to cut you off, but the way that Donald Trump do shit, this nigga's always on TV.
Okay,
this nigga is an idiot. Like this nigga say idiotic shit. I'm not a Trump supporter, no shit like that.
Okay,
but I'm saying this nigga's always on TV. Mm-hmm. He's tweeting. All type of other shit, bro. He's always putting himself to be seen. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is not that gritty.
What do you mean by gritty, though? Like, you mean as far as like bold to the point where you
not bold. It's like make yourself more seen,
more relevant, more.
Because this is who you fighting up against. He said he's won the presidency race before, so he knows how to win a campaign. Even after shit, whatever, behind the scenes, the nigga won a campaign. Okay. So what would you think you would have to do? Why would you think you would be any different? You got to make yourself being seen. I'm not saying compromise and do no donkey shit. I'm saying put yourself out there. Put yourself out there and just show what you're doing a lot more. Because Donald Trump going to show what he's doing. He got corona and still tweeting and shit.
But here's the thing, though. Donald Trump is the current president. So whatever Donald Trump is doing...
This is like before he was the president, too. It was even worse before he was the president.
But all right, Donald Trump was what? A businessman, right?
Yeah.
A no bullshit, straight to the point businessman. He said was on his mind.
Yeah.
Maybe Biden is not that. I don't think he's ever going to be like that because that's not his personality.
Yeah.
Trump has the pulse of America in a way that nobody ever has had before. No other president has had. The country
is fucking crazy.
So divided. On one side being for Trump and the other side being for...
Shit is fucking
I guess wild. Another side of America. But at the same time, Trump is saying things that most Americans are thinking. They mm-hmm. won't say it out loud, but they're thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Biden is trying to achieve that, but the reason why he can't, not necessarily because Trump has already did it. Trump's mm-hmm. already said what people are thinking and what they want America to be. So whatever Biden says... It's kind of like he's copycatting Trump.
Right.
Because Trump has never been any kind of president like that before.
Yeah.
So whatever Biden does has already been done. So it's kind of like racing somebody that is already five laps ahead of you, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what the fuck? That's what I'm saying, bro. That's why I'm saying you got to go get these people.
But even if you do that, it won't make a difference. Because now it's like, oh, you got Jay-Z on your campaign?
Fuck that.
That's obvious.
Fuck that. You I ain't talking about a person like Jay-Z. I'm talking about a nigga like Lil Baby or... I'm saying, no, like, that's the only way you're going to win.
If that would be too obvious, bro. Because it's like now...
It gotta be like a common ground that they really fuck with each other. And he really giving, like, not saying the spiel about what's happening out here, just... updated like hey, we don't like this that's going on in the world right now, can you know what I'm saying, try to fix it. You the president, you want to be the president, nigga. Yeah. Try to fix this. Okay, get you like just somebody, don't try to steal from no cultures and then just really fuck with these communities and the Latin community and the black community and the Chinese and just really try to see what's going on.
Let me ask this question, right?
You'll beat Trump. I swear you'll beat Trump.
Cause, yeah, I don't beat Trump.
Nah, I don't know. But I'm saying, like, you'll beat that nigga if you... Because he don't do that shit. Like, that shit I'm saying right there, like, go to communities and be like, how can we help here? How can we help here? I feel like they try to tell you how it'll work without them being out here. Like, you don't know how it is out here because you ain't from here.
But Trump... didn't do that, right? He didn't go to no communities. He didn't do none of that.
And still won. And
still won, right?
What
because
the
you know why he still won? Because no other president has done what Trump did.
You know why?
Every other president, guess what they did? They went to these little small-ass towns with small populations and they
you know why I feel like he won?
Why?
Because of his fans.
Well, they why do you think he has fans, though? Why do you think he has these legions of people that worship or even, you know, embrace this man with such
content? It's crazy. I don't know.
It's Donald because Trump, he says because what they are thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He tweeting this shit. That's what.
Not even tweeting, bro. He literally goes to they call the Trump rally. They
he's
call
him close. Rally, right? He's close to the fans, bro. It's even though he's not close, he's close. That's what people be on Twitter. Mm-hmm. If you going forward, if it's gonna stay like if he win again, mm-hmm. the next presidential person gotta be on Twitter.
You don't have to have a social media following to be a president. You don't.
But the last 2 years, Staten.
The last 2 years.
I mean, even back to, didn't Obama tweet and shit?
Obama didn't start tweeting.
I'm talking about, I ain't talking about Obama because he used to tweet sweet shit and all that. Trump be going at niggas.
Because that's who he is. That's just his personality. If that's your personality from before presidency to now, then that's you. Obama was never like that. Bush was never like that. No. Bush was never like that. So therefore it's like you can't change to become something else like Trump if that was never you.
But
so no matter what Biden does, people are always going to say
you
this.
Know who running for president also?
Who?
That nigga Ye. I think he's running.
Well, he won.
And you see what type, you know he gonna be tweeting and shit. Well, that shit just, I don't know. That shit is a big ass game. That's why I don't really pay attention to that shit that much. Because it's like a big ass game. It's like you got everybody running for president and shit. Like this shit really, like, the president, I guess it means something. But like y'all was saying the last time, it come down to your Supreme Courts and your in state laws and shit.
Yeah, local government. I think it's more supreme because it affects you a lot more.
Exactly.
More directly.
That president, that's too far up. Like,
Whatever they do, it affects the country, but it doesn't. It affects you indirectly, but it doesn't affect you directly.
Yeah, because the shit they got going on might hit 5 years from now. Yeah. The laws they hitting now within, like, here, Harris County and shit, that shit is just like. This shit affects immediately. If they say something, immediately.
It's kind of like when Trump said, "Okay, we're gonna close down the country, but we're gonna let mayors and governors make decisions on how they want to, you know,
open it up,
open the cities up."
Exactly. Look at look at Houston.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why I only personally vote for local elections.
Yeah.
You know, state elections versus country or nation.
That Trump versus Biden shit, they trying to make it like
it's just a TV million. Show, bro. Because look how funny it was
loving the presidency.
Look how funny it was when they had that first debate.
Right? Like, bro, they gonna make them like
then right after Trump caught the coronavirus.
Exactly, bro. Like, what the fuck?
And this motherfucker was like, "We still gonna have a part two to this debate when I come out the hospital." That's what Trump said. I ain't going nowhere. And Trump knows he can beat Biden. Trump knows he has an upper hand on Biden just because. Biden is because
he go. That's what I'm saying. He's more aggressive. Like
it's not about being aggressive. It's because he already knows what people want. He knows it because he said it. His whole tactic when he ran for president, right? Is I'm going to say exactly what the last president couldn't tell America. Right?
I feel like Biden should know what people want too.
The reason why he can't because he was never a businessman.
That's so crazy.
If you're not a business savvy person. You don't know what consumers want, or your citizen want, or you don't know what they need to hear.
Yeah.
Then therefore, you're not gonna have the same rhetoric or the same, you know what I'm saying, commitment.
I want everybody to go vote, and since they don't want Donald Trump to president, everybody go.
So who is he gonna go vote?
For like, I will.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Me personally, I won't vote because to me, it's not gonna make a difference my vote, and I'm saying that. All right, I know that sounds crazy, but the reason I'm saying that is because I vote for local elections.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, when is that shit? When is that? I'll vote for that.
Local elections.
That's not with the shit that's happening right now?
No. Right now, there's the primaries as far as debates and shit.
Fuck that. I'm talking about, like, that shit that you're talking about. When is that shit? That's what I'm voting for every time.
It happened 2 months ago for I think it was for mayor of Houston.
Yeah, I vote for some shit like that.
And you have your district attorneys, and you have your judges, yeah. Your local sheriff
departments. Yeah, sheriff departments and shit. Because I feel like that shit is important as well.
Because that affects you directly.
Yeah, the sheriffs and shit. Yeah. Like, because you got to know, like, as much as these two sides is so weird together, like the police and like the streets.
Yeah.
And like just common people, it has to be some type of common ground. That's where it's going to be communication, because it's just like, this side, the police side, they're just so aggressive, and you need to tone that shit down some, like, because you're still dealing with human beings, and you ain't got to walk up being hella aggressive. And it's like, that shit creates, like, friction from the other side, so it's like, damn. Because it's just like somebody being hostile with you, and you be like, what the fuck, I ain't worried about, like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, man, it's so funny, man, these days, because I was just thinking about, like, 2019, right?
Yeah.
And Murrah was like, man, it's kind of a shitty year, bro.
Yeah.
Like, ain't much going on, like, people acting weird and shit, but then 2020 comes around, it's like, the fuck?
I learned that the world is a TV show.
Yeah? In what way?
Headlines. Everything is for a headline.
Everything is media driven.
Everything is media driven.
So let me ask this though: you think with the advancement,
social media and everything? Look at social media, bro. This shit is crazy.
With the advancement of technology, you think we going forward or we just going backwards?
It's like you stand in the same place. It's the same amount of force going this way that it is that way, because it's like ain't nobody like. It's like the world is getting more, it's like our items are getting more smarter, but that's making us dumber.
Well, I will say this, right? I don't think we're getting dumber.
No, I'm saying, like, think about it like this. Not dumb as in, like, you're a dumbass nigga. I'm saying, like, in the sense of, it makes you do less things that you would have had to do in the 90s and the 80s.
So it makes you more numb to the, I guess, the important things.
You can tell Siri to send a text message without you just actually sending a text message.
Hmm. I mean, that's
what I mean. Like, it makes you more lazy and so it takes away hard work, and you're giving the hard work to the machines.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it kind of makes you less, I guess, responsive to anything that's going on.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
I feel what you're saying. There is.
You got an alarm clock to wake up. I mean, that's always been around, but.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that you don't have to press any buttons.
Exactly, like, that's what I'm saying. Good. You can tell Siri to do that shit. You ain't got to sit no, hey Siri, like, what do you.
But, you know, the worst part about it is only going to get more
advanced. You know 5G.
More automated.
What the fuck is 5G?
You know there's a conspiracy about that?
I know.
What did you know about it? What did you
hear? I know that 5G is a part of the plan, right? Like in the conspiracy you're speaking on, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know that part.
Yeah. Do you believe it though?
I don't know. It's hard to believe anything now, bro. I swear. It's so hard to believe anything. Because you'll drive yourself crazy. So, I stopped thinking about that shit, and I just started, because, bro, it'll drive you fucking insane, bro, when you don't know the actual answer, but it's like, you feel like you know, but you don't act, that shit drives me crazy, bro, so I'll be having to just, I don't know.
Man, I watch a lot of documentaries.
Yeah.
What I watch, I don't necessarily believe it most of the time, but I didn't think about it.
It's just crazy to hear. Like, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I do think about it, like, sounds a little bit kind of.
So I'll be seeing some crazy ass videos. I'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Especially even how it spills into the NBA, how it spills into the NFL, how it spills into the presidency. I'm like, damn, it's conspiracy everywhere. Like, even with the killings of I watch some crazy ass videos, and I just be like, man, this shit can't be true. But what if it is true? Like, that's what I'd be like, bro, like, now it's just, it makes you, it's making me, like, especially in the music business, what we talked about with the, you know what I'm saying, with all that. I'm saying, like, it makes you look at these people like, you got, like, I don't know. I'm not, makes you look at people weird.
Like, that's a perfect
set. When these people used to be like, I used to look up to these great people like Hov and Yeezy and all them. I used to just look up to them. But now once you get older and you like, you see those videos, you can be like, I can't, if this is happening, I can't fuck with you at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect segue to what I was going to ask you next, right?
Yeah.
So have you been watching the Jaguar, right? Little documentary, I mean, little interviews and shit.
The Jaguar?
You know who Jaguar White or Wright is?
No.
So Jaguar, her name is Jacqueline, right?
Yeah.
But they call her Jaguar. That was her stage name. Right. And she was a upcoming artist back in the 90s who would routinely perform with The Roots.
Yeah.
I think she became part of The Roots or whatever.
Yeah.
And she kind of had a underachieved career for a while. I mean, yeah. She was known in the business. She was a songwriter. She was a rapper slash singer, all that.
Yeah.
But her career never really, like, progressed in, like, the way she wanted it to or the way people envisioned her to.
Yeah.
So now, fast forward 15, 20 years later, and she's in these videos, these interviews on YouTube, and she's spilling the beans on everybody from the industry.
That's what I'm saying. It's some motherfuckers that didn't seen some shit.
But here's my thing about that, right? You seen some shit, and you was part of that shit that you saw. You was part of the crowd, the circle, whatever. What is the main purpose you telling it all right now? Like, what?
That's what I'm saying too. She also could be lying.
Not necessarily lying, but I think you might be telling the truth, but I think it's also a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Right? Because I want to know what your hidden agenda is.
Yeah.
And that, if I hear what you're, why you doing this, then that would dictate if I should keep listening to you. Because you can tell me the truth all day long, but why you telling me the truth now?
It may come from something happening in between that person and something, or a situation that have happened. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to tell some shit, you're going to tell it right off.
Right
shit
off.
That
right?
Shit that come 20 years later and
especially
shit.
Especially if it ain't sit right with you, right?
Yeah, you gonna
force your opinion.
You ain't
right
gonna wait 20 years.
So why wait 20? And that's my problem with those interviews, right? Because not only are you spilling the beans on these people who probably have changed over the years, probably maybe or not, but now they have families, they have emotional attachments to them than ever before. When y'all used to be in that circle back in the 90s or early 2000s. Yeah. So you telling all now. And not only are you harming this person's career, but you're also harming their family. So what could you possibly gain from that? Or why are you doing this now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's probably because they heard about something. Really? Like booty hurt, I mean. Like, it's something that...
You mad because your career ain't fall
that's
through.
That's probably
like
what it was, bro. So
then why take it out on somebody else? It's you control your own destiny, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, she started telling them what she say. I want to know what she said.
She said, quote unquote, that Tevin Campbell.
Oh man,
she was like, yeah.
I already know what they about to say about him.
She was like, Tevin Campbell. You know, as good as he was, he had a voice.
Yeah,
can sing his ass off. You know, a true talent in the industry. But then he became a drug addict and all that, and he started prostituting himself on Hollywood Boulevard. For sex and money and shit like that.
Damn.
Then Tevin Campbell clapped back at her on Twitter. Was like, don't you dare ever speak my name in public and telling things about me that never happened.
So it didn't. That's what I'm saying. You got that shit. What the fuck really happened?
Exactly.
Who the fuck is lying?
Who's lying?
Exactly. Who's lying? Who the who's fuck is lying, bro? That's why it drives me crazy.
But that's besides the point, though. It doesn't even matter who's lying or who's telling the truth. But it's like, why are you telling that now?
Yeah, like
we read the back. I know the backstory on Tevin Campbell, bro. Yeah. Like I ain't journalized his career, but I followed him a little bit.
He got the one hit song. Shit.
Yeah,
Can We Talk? That was forever.
That was forever known.
Yes.
So it's like this man has moved on. He's never been.
And I'm like 25. I ain't never thought of him in that way. So why would you just cloud a nigga mind? Like you just like. Now people gonna be like, this nigga Tevin Campbell. Yeah.
This man got a wife and kids.
It's
know?
Like, what the fuck?
Like, what are you gaining from that?
What else she say?
She said Aaliyah. She talked about Aaliyah. How?
What the fuck? Wait,
bro. I mean, the interview is right now is very very much a hot topic on YouTube. People are commenting on it,
saying hello. Why are you speaking on somebody that's not here anymore? Like, this shit is...
Because she was trying to tell about the people that allowed Aaliyah to be, you know what I'm saying, married at the age of 15, and how they didn't do anything to stop it.
I ain't trying to hear that shit, because you ain't helped.
Exactly. It's like, you could have did that shit. Do all that shit, right? How can you even blow the whistle then?
Exactly. That means you more fucked up, because you seen this shit. You're just as foul as everybody else.
And that was one of the... I was watching this review video, the interview, and that's what one of the persons was saying. It's like, you knew about Aaliyah, and she was 15. She got married to R. Kelly, right? And you know how fucked up R. Kelly was, because you even said a lot of things about R. Kelly. So why didn't you voice your opinions about how wrong this was?
I don't know. Stupid ass.
But you wait 20 years later to speak about it. And her overall idea was, I don't believe it's the actual reason why she's doing it, but she claims it is. She says she's trying to warn the new generations of musicians.
I ain't trying to hear that shit.
From doing or becoming what, you know, what they was like back in the 90s or early 2000s.
I'm not trying to hear that shit.
And I think that's just one of the same resentment that the new age artists, the millennials, resent against the old heads. Because it's like, you did all what you did back then, right? But we are pretty much doing the same thing you did back then. We're doing it now.
Yeah.
So if the old heads from your day didn't stop you from doing it, or they told you not to do it, but you still did it, why should we listen to you now? Why didn't you give us the perfect example of what to do back then?
Because.
Then maybe I can listen to you now.
Because.
So it's almost like you hate on my success because, I mean, artists these days are getting more streams than ever before. You know? Whatever their music is good or not.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like a hate, you know, in a way. I can see why they can think it's a hate. I can see why old heads think that they have to say something to these new kids. These kids. But it's kind of like a weird, advice to give to somebody that is young. But you weren't a perfect example of how I should, you know, how I should be. So, I don't know, man.
People like telling people what the fuck to do. And they like coaching. I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
A motherfucker can't wait to get a chance to preach to you, to coach you, and to tell you what to do. That's all the, like, some, that's like with the older people. I'm not saying that it's all bad. You can get some good conversations. But I'm saying, majority people are going to be trying to teach you shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they've probably went through the same things that you've went through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, at a certain point, we're gonna have to experience that shit. You ain't gonna be able to save.
And we're gonna take some losses. We're gonna
You're gonna still do what you wanna do anyway, because you're gonna wanna do it your way, because you think your way is right.
It is right.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
what's the best teaching in life? Experience.
Experiences. That's what I'm saying. Like, so what I would teach somebody or try to tell somebody, not really just even preach to them, like, whatever you do, just stand on what you do. And just, you got to accept the consequences or whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And just.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And
bro.
Just, that's what I'm saying. Do it because you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Not because whoop-de-whoop made you do it. Yeah. I've seen this on TV, so I want to do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it because you want to do it. I feel like that's like the flyest people in life.
Yeah.
People that just do what they want to do. Like,
because I'm not gonna stifle your career or stop you from having opportunities that I didn't have.
Exactly.
You know, so. Yeah, I mean, you absolutely.
Hey, yeah,
right.
Don't go to that meeting, because when I went to that meeting, they had like a fucked up offer for me.
Yeah,
but that offer may not be the same
now,
for him.
Yeah,
exactly. Like 15, that's what
20
I'm saying.
Years later, yeah.
Exactly. That meeting may be where he need to go, or you may tell somebody to go in that meeting, but they need to stay independent. So that's why you let people make their own decisions. Like so, like, and then when you listening to somebody like that, you gotta like learn how to block that out and make your own decision.
Make your own decision.
Because if you sign that wrong contract, you listen to this motherfucker, and you ain't like, you listen to this person, and you sign that fucked up contract. Now you stuck in the contract, and you ain't even really make the decision. You just went off what somebody said. So you kind of want to just think before you do shit.
Yeah, I don't think you should necessarily give people advice. I think she's. Create a conversation that makes them aware.
Comfortable.
Aware.
First off,
You know, because awareness is everything. If you're aware of something, then you know the possibility of what could happen.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You can maneuver through.
That's what I'm saying. Be aware.
Situation. Just be aware.
That shit. That was a nice little topic right there. That was 5-star conversation. What else do I? What else have I seen? I don't know. I really ain't seen nothing that was like too interesting this week. But it was a headline filled week. I really want to give social media a break,
bro.
I really want to give it a break for about a good 2 months.
That's hard.
It is hard.
That's fucking hard. And it's hard for too many reasons, bro. It's like, yeah. One,
I just kind of still want to stay what's current.
No. I mean, you can be current with anything.
Yeah.
You can just go to YouTube and be current with
something. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can be playing Xbox online. Yeah. Somebody can tell you some shit.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking like, to somebody.
You're talking to somebody. Yeah. So it's like, for me, or for any in a situation, I don't think it's to stay current per se, but to just have the ability to pick and choose what you listen to.
Exactly. Something like that. I want to monitor what I see.
Yes. Choices. I think choices.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is a big thing. Because social media, most of the time, bro, they just show you shit.
Bro, I don't want to hear nothing else about, like, Trump comes up way too much on my timeline.
What? That's never going to stop. Bro.
That's never going to stop, but it's like I can make it a little better, mm-hmm. like by deleting some people here. Not like really deleting some people, yeah. like, but just filtering it, like filtering like Twitter and Snapchat and shit. And
do you have a Twitter?
I do.
How often do you tweet?
I fucking tweet. I don't really tweet a lot, but Twitter is the funniest place in the world. Like, and I'm not talking about the niggas that be in people comments and saying negative shit.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just the videos and shit. Like, just the videos on Twitter is funny as hell.
So I made a Twitter back in 2010 actually.
Yeah.
The last time I've been on it was 2013.
Man, you missed a lot.
And the last thing I tweet, right? And I was like, cause I went to Canada, right?
Yeah.
To see my grandpa who lives in Toronto. He don't live there no more, but he did at the time. And I tweeted this because me and him, he's a true old head, right?
Yeah.
He likes taking long walks and likes talking while we walk and shit. So me and him took like a mile and a half walk. And he was just telling me some shit that happened to him when he was younger. You know what I'm saying? Crazy shit, like, because he's African. And I tweeted it like the hour after we came back from my walk. And I was like, it's amazing how, you know, you can learn so much and so little from somebody that's older.
That seems like some Kevin shit. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can definitely see you tweeting
and
that
I
shit.
Tweeted that shit, yeah. Right? And I bullshit you not, bro. About 15 minutes later, I get like 13 likes. And I get like two comments from it, right?
Yeah.
And the comments was, I agree.
Yeah.
The other one was like, how can you learn very little from old people or from people older than you? And I didn't really comment back.
Yeah.
But that kind of, and I was thinking about what could I, you know, say to that person who asked me that question.
Yeah.
And I think what you can learn so little from them is that time is no indignation for how you live tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why you can learn little from them is because that's their destiny. That was their past. That was their life.
You know what's crazy? What if life was meant to not have time?
That would be impossible.
Nah, think about it. Because I'm saying, like, who put time here?
I don't think anybody put time here. I don't think anything.
Somebody had to invent the clock. Who invented the clock?
Nobody invented. I mean, somebody obviously invented.
Who invented 1 o'clock? That's the time I'm talking about.
Oh, so you're talking about, okay, the aesthetics that we see all the time.
But that creates birthdays and shit.
Okay, the moment you were born.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, what about back in like the old ass days?
Back in the old ass days, guess what? How they tell time? Sun.
Sun and night.
Sun and
night.
What
if that's how you're supposed to look at it?
Okay, if that's how you're supposed to look at it, then why not use a numerical sequencing to follow and track the sun as it goes up and goes down?
Damn, that's kind of deep. I fuck with that. Like, I ain't look at it like that.
Because I mean, you're already watching the sun as it when it's the
highest. You think that's how somebody created that shit?
Yeah, I think you literally follow the sequence of our solar system, right?
Yeah.
The sun comes up early in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So you use numerical sequencing to follow and track the telepath of the sun as it goes through its cycle.
That's crazy.
Whether that is accurate or not. Because some days, guess what, we have leap years, right?
Yep.
Some days.
See, then you get into all type of shit like
because
that.
Because it still goes back to astronomy.
Exactly. Astronomy. This is off topic, but are you into like zodiac signs and shit?
Bro, I ask females that all the time, right? Because I'm very, very intrigued by their questions. Not only based on my zodiac sign, but based on like how they view other people.
Yeah.
Right? And I wouldn't say I'm an enthusiast about it. I'm not like super, super close to like reading shit about it. Yeah. But I am interested in the way that people view zodiac signs. Personally, I don't give a shit about it. But
it's like I want to know more about mine just to see if it is me. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm a Leo, and they do say Leos are like. I like the overall views of Leos. It's like you kind of like a cool person. You like you chill. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't really do too much. Mm-hmm. But I want to learn more. But I also know my life path number. Do you know your life path number?
Black was trying to teach me that shit, right? Because, you know, he was on some like body shit, right? Some fucking.
Yeah.
I don't know it. I forgot it.
That shit kind of fucked me up. Ain't gonna lie. Because it was kind of accurate. Because me and my brother, before he Black, I even. Like, new Black, like, 2 or 3 or 4, like, years or some shit like that.
Yeah.
My brother was, like, talking about chakra and your life path number. And I looked up mine. Mm-hmm. Then it said, like, a good person and you like, try to, like, the mediator, in a sense. And I was like, damn, that kind of is true. Because like in a conversation, I feel like a healthy conversation is one where everybody's like, shit is getting heard. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's how I would mediate a conversation. Just make sure everybody get their shit off. So everybody understands where everybody's coming from. Mm-hmm. Then everybody can have the discussion. Because like, if you just got a bunch of motherfuckers not listening to each other, the shit ain't gonna go nowhere. So there's really no use to even fucking arguing no more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's like how I would mediate a conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'd just be like, man, like, just chill, listen to this part, listen to this person. Yeah. I'll just communicate like that, but I don't know. So that shit just kind of was hella accurate, and I was like, whoa, that shit kind of dope.
Isn't that kind of scary though, man, when things you never expect to be accurate, bro?
That shit was accurate as hell. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I was watching have you heard of A Thousand Ways to Die?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that shit corny.
It's corny because the way they die and all that shit. But there was one episode, right? And this dude had a twin.
Yeah.
They were separated at birth, right? But they both died on the same day. They never met each other before, right? But they both died on the same day, a mile away from each other.
So it's like the closer they got,
who knows?
Damn.
But they died, and plus they died on the same day they were born. So they died on their birthday.
What the fuck?
Separated at birth when they were twins.
Yeah.
Live a mile away from each other, but they never met each other, right? But they died on the same day they were born.
That's wild.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like coincidence like that, or like, I don't even know what they even call it, like existential moments like that. It's like, damn.
That's crazy. I wonder if I got a twin out there. That should be crazy.
Well, they say.
Imagine you just see you somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, what the fuck?
That is freaky, though. The scene.
Like on some Us shit.
Bro, that movie, oh my God.
That we're getting into the Black horror films and the Black, like.
Yeah, exploitation.
I like that shit. I like it because it's another one about to come out. Another horror, like a Black horror film is about to come out. And I like that shit. Like, you seen Ma?
I heard of it. I didn't see it.
I like that. It's just in there. I don't know who owns, produces all that shit, but it's like Black actors and like, Jordan Peele did his shit. So
yeah,
I like that we're taking the step. You ain't got to make a Love Jones or a Poetic Justice. Even though that shit is great. I'm not saying that shit not great. This shit is great. It's cemented, too, in the black community. But I'm saying, like, go off into that horror shit and make black romantics like The Notebook. Like, we can have a Notebook or just, you know what I'm saying, something like that.
Yeah.
That's why I like that shit.
I mean, I like black exploitations, too. Like, I saw one of the my opinion, one of the best black exploitation movies from the 70s, Shaft. The original Shaft, right?
Shaft. And I ain't seen the original Shaft. I only seen the second one.
Are you talking about the 2001 with Samuel Jackson?
Well, that's the second one?
Well, the second one's actually from 1973. Oh. But the
what the fuck?
The new age, fast forward like 50 years later, was like 2001.
That's Samuel. Another one just came out.
Yeah, but yeah, that one was like Shaq. I'm Shaq. Was Shaq when he had a son? Whatever.
That's the one. That's the only one I seen.
That's the only one you saw. Okay, so the original one was with the old actor, bro, black dude. But
yeah,
from 1971, bro. I'm talking about
it's raw action,
raw footage, raw vintage like movie.
Yeah,
where they didn't have no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like CGI.
Yeah, none that's that shit just, man, that should be crazy.
Vintage shit, right? And you could tell the people who wrote those scripts that they were so in depth with the 70s and with the time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? There was no
You know what I like in a good movie?
What's that?
I like how they can do flashbacks and they match the time.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Like The Godfather. You know I can talk about The Godfather.
But that's perfect though, because that's The Godfather came out in 72.
That's what I'm saying, but it was based in like the 60s or the 50s.
The 50s.
That's what I'm saying. It looked more like 50-ish.
Because they can do that,
though. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I like in a good movie.
Because of that time frame. Because the 50s and the 70s, they were identical in a way. The only difference is probably the cars might be different. But as far as the overall scenery, it was pretty much the same. So you can do that, but fast forward to like 2013, trying to relive the 50s, the new ones is there won't be accurately depicted.
Yeah,
you know, but
you can like if you're doing like 2000s, you can do like
go back.
That shit. I don't know. That's just what I like in a good film. Something that just I like the look of a film. That's like because I want to produce something one day.
Like the cinematography of it.
Yeah, like just. Like how Scarface was hella like the scene of it, like the whole just the scene, it's appealing to the eye. If your shit is not appealing to my eye, I probably won't like it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know how when Scarface died, he was face down and the world is yours.
Yeah,
like that shit was like appealing to the eye. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just great movies that's appealing to the eye. Like, that you got, like, separate messages going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got communication going on with Tony and whoever. Like, and then you got a picture behind them. Like, say, I'm doing a scene and me and you talking. I'm talking about, like, some deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Tupac on a picture behind us. It's like Tupac used to say deep shit, and now we having a deep conversation. So like shit like that. That's why I like.
Now I definitely see what you're saying, because that was kind of like, you know what that reminds me of? That scene in Menace to Society where he's talking to his grandfather, right?
Yeah.
And his grandfather was telling him about the things you're doing. It's not good in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
He's just talking to him about it. You can see the picture of Jesus right above his head. And it's kind of like a metaphor in saying that Jesus or God sees everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Everything you do under the sun.
Yeah.
But
that's like,
are you aware of that? You know? Yeah. Like, you know, it's so it's like a perfect, you know, cinematography of what your message is in the movie and how that conflicts with your character.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the allegory between that.
I don't know. That'll be my dream, bro. If I got to produce a movie or direct a movie, cause I don't know how to act, but I feel like I know how you should be when you're acting. I don't know. Maybe that's arrogant.
No.
But I feel like I know what I should tell the actor. Now you should do a little bit more of this.
Yeah.
Like stand right here. Like when y'all have this conversation, I want your facial expressions to be this.
You know what? Quentin Tarantino. Yeah. Shitty actor. I don't think he's a good actor at all.
Yeah. Was he in Pulp Fiction at the beginning?
Pulp Fiction?
When they was robbing the bank, was that him?
No,
I'm talking about robbing a diner.
You talking about Reservoir Dogs?
Nah. I'm talking about Pulp Fiction.
He was in Pulp Fiction, but he played the dude who they went to his house because...
Mr. Wallace?
No, not Mr. Wallace. Mr. Wallace was...
Vince Rames.
Oh,
okay.
But he played the dude who they went to his house after they shot that dude in the backseat.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he was like, you
want some coffee? Okay.
But in Reservoir Dogs, he played the table scene.
Yeah, that table, you showed me that table scene. That was like, I like that too.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
The way he literally used the camera to kind of be more than just a camera. He used it as another character.
That come with great directing because he told the cameraman, hey, nigga, I want you to probably do it like this.
So you can see everybody's opinions or even facial expression when you hear something that, that sounds stupid.
Exactly. Because it's like the person that's talking is not on camera. Was they?
When the person that's not on camera says something, you see the react because the camera's just going in.
Okay.
So you can be like, I don't believe in tipping. Right? The moment you say that, but the camera's already on this side. So the person on this side, you can see their facial expression when you say, I don't believe in tipping.
Yeah.
Then it comes back to you.
Yeah.
The moment he makes the facial expression, but it comes back to you at that exact moment afterwards, then you can explain further why don't you believe in tipping.
Yeah.
By the time you finish, it's on him to see his facial expression after you give your explanation why you don't believe in tipping.
It's like great panic.
And that thought, that was exceptional. That was brilliant. And no other director did that at that time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Now you got people who copycat that shit.
Yeah, because he's been here for so long. Somebody gonna take it.
So now to me, that there's no much more originality, bro.
Yeah,
like originality is damn near.
But it is,
I say, almost dead.
Because look at Jordan Peele. I feel like that's kind of new.
Well, Jordan Peele, the reason why it seems authentic in a way is because he's not force feeding that shit down your throat. And the reason why I say that, right? Because most directors, guess what they do, right? They take a compilation of so many directional styles from all kinds of great directors, right?
Yeah.
They try to make it their own. But it's so obvious how they're not being genuine.
Yeah, I like how you can't figure his movies out.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many plot twists and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily his direction style. It's more of his storyline.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that type shit. Because I hate when I can guess a movie.
Yeah.
That shit, I'll be like, man, I don't want to watch this shit.
But it also is
no
dictated
more.
By what? The genre.
Yeah.
So if it's a thriller.
Yeah.
Thriller is always supposed to have either a cliffhanger or a twist.
Yeah, bro.
Like, it's not supposed to be so direct that you can figure out the damn movie within 5 minutes of, you know, watching it. But his shit,
bro. Then you got a nigga like Tyler Perry. You gonna guess what a Tyler? Bro, I can tell you what's in a Tyler Perry film.
Because of the genre.
Yeah, it's like he gonna do the same shit every time. He gonna make niggas ain't shit.
And that's what I think drama or thrillers are more more ambiguous than any other genre because you can't really tell what's gonna go on or what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You kind of have to keep watching. See what's gonna happen, but comedy or somewhat comedy black exploitations like Todd Perry shit, you can almost know what's gonna happen, right? Man. Just based on
I'm talking about even his non like Madea films. Look at think what's that shit called? Why Did I Get Married?
Well, actually, I like that movie though.
But
I see because it wasn't funny though. There was some real life shit in it.
It was, but you ain't guess what was about to happen in that shit.
No, I really couldn't just because. The moment when Jill Scott character showed up,
because
she was the last one to show up to that that little retreat that they had.
Yeah,
I was like, she just got her, she lost her man or whatever.
I'm talking about as far as knowing the director and you know where he gonna take it.
That movie was different.
Her fat ass should've. What'd he say? What the nigga say? What'd he say?
I forgot exactly what he said.
That's what I'm saying. That nigga went off on her, bro. We like, come on.
But could you see that coming, though? Could you see him talking to her like that?
She drove. Hell yeah. I saw that coming.
Because you know black people, right? You know how they gonna react.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kinda like, he made her drive from the beginning. So I was like, oh, he finna be a fucked up individual this whole movie. But what did fuck me up? Was Janet Jackson and her husband. I'm like, damn, I thought y'all niggas was good. But then they was like had turmoil and shit, like, so they was like all fucked up. But I knew what was gonna happen between what was they naming that, Marcus and Angela. I knew what was gonna happen with old dude. He made her drive to the shit. How much of a hoe ass nigga can you be where you don't give up your seat and you drive and let her
walk? So the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that creates some kind of agitation with you. That means it's a good movie.
It forces a reaction.
Yeah, most of the Tyler Perry movies are dry, bro. Like,
but that just so happens to be Tyler Perry. He'll do that shit like three movies deep. You ever seen?
Yeah.
Taraji P. Henson?
Yeah, Taraji. I don't know. I know. Was Janet in this one?
For Color Girls?
I don't know. I forgot who was the hoe, cause I ain't see it. Like I said, my mom and them just seen this shit, and they told me about it. So I was just like, yeah, I don't want to see that shit, cause it sounds like it's niggas and somebody always beating slapping the shit out they woman. That happened in the nigga was fucked up in what's that one movie where she
was it Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she fuck, which one was it? But anyways, the dude, she had a stripper in the crib. It was her, and she was finna get married. I think it was like a bachelor party, and Blair Underwood, he was in this hole.
Oh, yes, talking about yes. The Diary of a Black Angry Woman or something.
Yeah,
like
some
that.
Shit Matt like that. Yeah, like,
yeah.
But he walked in and he was like, "No, y'all keep going."
Yeah,
and she was like, "No, y'all have to go." That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nigga was a whole ass nigga the whole film.
Yeah, that's when she threw hot grits on his ass or something like that. Was that?
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah, it had to be that one. And then look at the other one. Mm. Look at the other motherfucker. Like, what's the other movie where? Was that the same movie? When she Yeah, that was the same movie when old girl was dealing with the bald head dude.
Oh, no. The one with the bald head dude was Diary of a Mad Black Woman. That was the first one. The second one was called Madea Family Something.
Nah, bro. I think that's the same movie.
No. The bald headed dude. Well, I know the bald headed dude.
We finna Google check.
The bald headed dude. I know you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? The nigga that was tripping and shit. And Madea went and cut the couch in half and shit.
Yes.
Alright, so that's not the same movie as the wedding one.
The wedding one, no. The wedding one was different.
Damn. Right,
so you have... Let me see. So you have 2006, Madea Family Reunion.
Family Reunion.
Then you have The Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Okay, so them two. Okay, so
Family Reunion
was the bald head nigga?
No, Family Reunion was Blair Underwood.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And the bald head dude was Mad Black Woman.
What the fuck? Oh, she was like, "I'm not mad. Angry as hell." No, she said, some shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, like, that shit, like, even with, like, he gonna make a hoe ass nigga out of the character in that hoe, like.
Yeah.
And that's gonna happen, bro.
I mean, they said,
Nah, but he switched it, though. Cause, like, I don't know if you seen that one where Taraji was, like, this crazy person.
Yeah, you talking about do bad by myself?
Nah.
Yeah, Taraji, I can do bad by myself.
Nah. I'm talking about the scary one. I think he did this movie. It's not a scary one, but I'm talking about it. It's like, it was, she was fucking with this nigga. Like, it was like her husband or some shit. Like, and this nigga was trying to get his life together. He had this, like, project he was working on, but it never hit. So it's like, it never hit. Like, every, like, 30 times, it never hit. But on the 31st one, like, this nigga was finna, like, go throw that shit away. And then he got a call to bring it in because everybody think it's genius now on the 31st try or whatever. So I feel like he had fucked something up at the house. I can't remember. But like she was like, you really gonna go back with that shit? And this nigga was like, yes, I got to. So he went back and it worked. Mm. But she was like, fuck that. I'm done. So I think they had got a divorce. But she see him up now. So she's just getting, but he got married to somebody else, so she's just getting madder and madder and more obsessed and madder and madder. I'm like, damn.
Do you remember that that Tyler Perry movie where it was a married couple, they were brand new married, they was like kids. They loved each other from when they were kids. They got married. They moved to D.C.
Yeah.
Then
I don't know this one.
This chick was working in like a fashion place where she meet this dude who was like a multi-millionaire who created this dating website, and he eventually got her to leave her husband, but turns out he had AIDS.
I think.
And he gave her AIDS.
I think. Is that not for colored girls?
No.
Wait, whoa. That's the one. Yes. It was the light skin. I don't want to say light skin. I want to say her name. I don't want to say light skin girl.
No, it's called, damn, bro.
Man, I'm talking
It's about, called Tyler Perry Temptations.
Temptations, I seen that movie. Yeah, that wasn't movie, Kim Kardashian in that movie?
Kim Kardashian was.
Yes, bro. That movie. Yes. I was like, oh, yeah, that's
that movie get. Was a plot twist.
Like, it was like on some movie shit, but I was like, that's what show ass get.
Yeah. So, you was telling her that's what she got? Bro, fuck all that, bro. Because, I mean, bro, we all have.
The nigga turned out to be abusive type shit, huh, too? Nigga, like,
beat ass. Sniff cocaine. Damn. Like, he literally turned out from being a good girl, a wholesome young female, to now this thotty ass spending all my money sniffing my cocaine.
I don't know what I just seen, bro, but the nigga name was Ashtray in that. No, what the fuck? I don't know. This is a Tyler Perry film, but I feel like I'm down in Tyler Perry. I ain't trying to do that shit. But like, sometimes that nigga movies can go like hella left with the nigga combo, like, oh shit.
But let me ask this though, right? So who's your favorite black director?
Favorite black director? I like it gotta be my boy Single
John Singleton.
It had to be Singleton.
Yeah. I fuck with John Singleton.
It gotta be. For me, because who else? Like, I like Sanaa Lathan's. I think it's her dad, Stan Lathan. I think he did. Oh, of course, Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Of course, Stan Lathan. I don't want to say his name wrong, but I think he did like the Best Man and shit. I fuck with that. Mm. Like, so that'll be them three.
Definitely Spike Lee for me.
I'm trying to think of, am I missing anybody?
John Singleton did his thing, man.
John Singleton did the entire thing and then some after that.
Did you ever watch that little TV show he was directing?
Snowfall,
yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Just think about it.
That shit was like, it gives a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah.
I like that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that nigga, like he handling his business on that hoe.
And I like that.
No, think about the classics though.
I mean, you can't go wrong with classes, though. You can't.
John Singleton, bro, for you to be able to do that, that's crazy. He put it into real life.
But out of all his classics, though, which one's your favorite?
Gotta be Boys in the Hood.
Really?
It gotta be Boys in the Hood. From what I can, like, remember in my head right now, it gotta be.
Did he direct Poetic Justice?
I think he did.
I think Poetic Justice is probably my favorite, though.
That's a live-ass movie, too. He did Baby Boy, too.
Baby Boy is good.
Yeah.
Good.
Damn, he got so many classics. Like,
yeah.
Like, I wonder what else is on his list that I don't know about.
You know, he directed one of the Fast and Furious?
He did? I can believe that.
The second one, actually. The one with Tyrese was in it.
For real?
Yeah. The one the one that people didn't really like. It's called The Fast and Furious.
That's a legend. For him to name him being that legendary.
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious. Yeah, but
and that's why he casted Tyrese.
Yeah. Oh, because
the second one, the second Fast and Furious came out in like 2003.
Yeah.
So this was right after
Baby Boy
and all that shit. Yeah.
So he got his acting on.
Yeah,
and shit.
He got his acting on and shit.
Nah, but yeah, like Boys in the Hood gotta be like my number one because it tells a it's like it's pain that go with it like. It's happiness and then it's pain.
Did you know more niggas saw that movie when it came out than females? And these not just ordinary niggas.
Yeah, of course.
These are like gangbangers and shit.
Exactly.
Right? And they said that was the most accurate depiction of their lifestyle in LA than any of the movie they ever seen. Because, I mean, you got to take accountability that the movie Colors, right? See, have you heard of the Colors?
Colors, yeah.
Yeah. It came out in 88.
Yeah.
And they saw that, obviously, and it was like, It's good, but yeah, there's more Hollywood.
But you know probably why that is what I was saying about Biden earlier. What he did was, I'm pretty sure he went to these places, these Watts and Compton, and he got good with, like, and he, it was just genuine love, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. That's to where he could just be like, all right, I want to depict y'all life. Let me know, like, what's going on. Not necessarily what's going on, because I feel like that's just using clout. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he really genuinely cared, and it was genuine. So it worked together beautifully. Mm-hmm. But you got to, like, come down and talk to these people to see what they're like. You know what, like basically what, like, you remember in the movie where Furious was talking to everybody?
Yeah.
Like, it's just that type of shit. Like, you gotta, like, know around, like, around your area and all that shit. And I'm pretty sure you knew. So that's why I was okay for you. Because first off, you gotta ask permission to shoot in these hoods.
Yeah.
You gotta ask permission. You're not just gonna come shoot no movie in a nigga hood.
Because even, like, the music videos. Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
I know he got good, because that's like your movie take. How long the fucking movie take to shoot? Like, some months, right?
Like, damn.
You on these people turf for months shooting a video. I mean, a movie. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some type of dialogue with the leaders or the gang members out there.
That's what made, what's his name? John Singleton perfect, because he grew up in LA. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
He grew up there, so he knew the nuances. So there's nothing like you being from there where you're shooting at, right?
Exactly.
Because you know the nuance. You know exactly. And you guess what you can do also? You know exactly who to cast for your movies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Ice Cube, first movie, perfect.
That was perfect.
That was a perfect casting, because Cuban Gooding Jr., that was like his
perfect
second or third
too.
Movie.
Everybody was perfect.
Morris Chestnut, I mean, damn. Neil Long. I mean, it was just a perfect cast.
A fucking beautiful
Regina King.
It's like everybody played their part, like, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Everybody, like, nobody wasn't overacting. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just straight. Mm-hmm. Like, it was joy and pain.
Yeah.
That's what the most perfect movie is. If it's, like, a type of movie where it's going to relate, it got to be joy and it's pain. Like,
and I think the most underrated actor, like, underrated, bro, in the entire movie to me, was motherfucking Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, he did some acting. He was a main character.
He was not a main character, but what he was the patriarch of the entire movie, to where he was the person that create the overall, you know what I'm saying, substance of what it means to live in the hood.
Yeah.
From a perspective that is different, right?
Yeah.
Because he was an old head, right? So he was smart.
So he trying to teach and
so
shit.
He was trying to give, you know what I'm saying, like, lessons and shit. And I thought that was brilliant, right? Because not only does that tie into everything, but that gives a different dichotomy to these youngsters that live in the streets, but I'm an old head. I know what goes on these streets. So
exactly. I've seen it a bunch of times.
I've seen it a bunch of times. So that ties in a full circle of how Boys in the Hood is Boys in the Hood, though.
Yeah. Boys in the Hood. That's basic. Like, even the name, the title was so, like...
Yeah, nobody really gives such a blatant title to movies
Boys
like that.
Boys in the Hood.
You know what I'm saying? Because nobody even dare touch, like, black hoods or black, you know, communities like that.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, ain't no white director getting access to be in no Compton or no Watts shit.
Who directed Colors? I think it was it Stanley Kubrick? I don't know,
but Colors, it was just like, it kind of gave the perspective of police and shit too.
Yeah, it did, actually.
And Boys in the Hood was just about
Dennis Hopper, but Colors was never meant to be about police. It was meant to be about gang culture,
yeah,
and how the two, gang culture and police, you know.
You just see how treated it is. They treat black people. I mean, they kind of did it in Boys in the Hood too. But they kind of did it for like a brief moment. He went in the house and swung in the air and shit.
About everyday struggle with living in the hood.
For real, you got a bit of everything.
Think about that scene, right, when Ricky got shot, and they drove Ricky's body back to his mama.
That shit is like reality.
And they sat him on the couch, and she comes out. They didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, she was like, "What the fuck?"
To me, bro, that is beyond acting, bro.
Yes, what I'm saying. Like, that shit was, like, great. That shit looked real as fuck.
Anybody, bro, in their natural human existence, right, see your son
And shout out to Morris Chestnut too. About he to really go, looked dead.
Like, about to go to USC, right? About to play football.
She has just got the letter.
He passed his SATs and everything.
On some shit.
Then he all bloodied up.
He got fucked.
Then you got Ice Cube telling him. Telling her, like,
they had just gotten into a fight before he left the crib.
That and he was scratching a lottery ticket. To me, that's perfect, bro.
But it's just like, that's fucked up because the niggas was like, oh, the niggas just playing.
Yeah.
The niggas was not playing.
But yeah, bro, every time I see that scene, bro, when his mom is just like, just crying hysterically.
Yeah, that
bro,
shit fuck you up.
That shit like, fuck me up, bro.
Because, bro, that shit looks so real. Yeah. Like, it's like, have you lost a son before, man? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Chestnut was really looking dead. The girlfriend was like,
yeah.
This is my fucking.
Then when she started crying, she screamed.
Yeah, the baby started screaming. Everybody gathered in the front yard. That's how the shit be. Like, that's what I'm saying,
then you
bro.
Then you see Cuban Gunn, you'd be like, meet me in my house in an hour type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
But that shit, they're crazy. That's how it go, bro.
Yeah.
That's how it go, because they immediately got revenge. Mm-hmm. Immediately. They ain't let the fucking day go by. They got that nigga that night, because this nigga was, like, tripping. Like, we knew that you niggas did this, so we finna come get y'all shit right back. Like, because they had been edit the whole movie, because the nigga was, like, remember when they was, like, on I think, I forgot what street they was on. But they was like, just everybody was just chilling. And they was walking by, and the nigga just bumped Morris Chestnut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know
that nigga, that's why Ice Cube was like, do we got a problem? Do we got a problem?
That nigga brought out a damn Tech N9ne.
Nigga sprayed that shit in the air. That's crazy, nigga, bro. Then everybody started scattering and shit. So that's like, yeah, bro. Peace, the rest in peace to John Singleton, bro. For real. Like, because you left something here forever that we were forever going to.
Did you know that he was literally in the middle of the LA riot back in 93.
Real?
Yeah, he was there, smack dead in the middle of it, right?
That's lit.
And he had, you know, he always wear those snapbacks.
Yeah.
Bro, his snapback collection was dope.
Yeah, the X one.
Yeah.
Too.
He always had a dope snapback collection, and he had those little circle John glasses and shit. Mm-hmm. But they had an interview with him, and it was like, so why do you think people are rioting and looting? He was like, this is what you get when you have people that are been frustrated at the system that has failed them for a long time. This is what you get. You get civil unrest. And the lady,
there's a lot of crazy shit happening, bro. That's when the Chronic dropped.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
The Chronic dropped. I mean, NWA was no longer there, but you still had LA music scene. Because you had Snoop Dogg.
Suge and Dre did that shit.
Ice Cube. Then you had Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
Mac 10.
Yeah. Ice Cube.
Said
Ice
Cube? A bunch of niggas, bro.
Suge and Dre, them niggas, it was a death of something. Not really the death of NWA, but it's just like the torch was passed, and I don't think it was really passed. I think them niggas just kind of took it.
It was snatched from
them. Yeah, they snatched that motherfucker.
They had to, though, because, I mean.
And then what Suge did with that label, like, he may have made some bad decision that fucked him in the end or whatever, but what he did, and for him to scoop Tupac and add him to an already star-studded like label, you snatched Tupac Shakur from prison. Put him on your fucking label
from prison,
and he go double platinum on Christmas,
bro. Not only you brought Tupac, but you brought
Hammer.
Angry Tupac.
Yes, you got angry
Tupac, bro.
Yes, bro. Tupac,
you know what I'm saying?
So
he
mad.
Was no longer conservative, bro.
Yeah, he wasn't on that.
He was angry. He was about proving to people that this shit.
You
not,
can't fuck with
you know
me no more.
Saying?
I'm with Death Row.
I'm with
Death Row.
And Suge played into that even more.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
He fed it. Like, nigga, you pop, nigga. Yeah, tell these.
You know what I'm saying? So, as much as I loved it, I hated it for Tupac because I felt like he could have made better. He could have made even more music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With another label. But anyway, it don't even matter. But
yeah.
But that whole era, though, like, that's what they call it, the golden age of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Cause, can you imagine, bro, if you was alive, right? If you was like, I don't know, 19 or 20, right?
Yeah.
And you go into a record store to go buy the Chronic when it first dropped, right? And you lived in L.A. at the time, right?
And you ain't heard it? This your first hit? This your first imagine somebody first time hearing that whole album in 92.
Yeah.
Like, they hit that whole album, and they, for the first time, they put that shit on. You in the middle of L.A. You live in L.A. in the hood. And you put that goddamn tape on.
Yeah.
And it's just slapped like that.
Or even better, when you heard No Vaseline for the first time, bro.
No Vaseline? I ain't really like No Vaseline. Like,
no, really?
Nah.
Bro, because you gotta understand, though, bro. This is Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And he's straight up dissing.
I don't really like the beat like that. The beat wasn't slapping like a Dr. Dre beat.
What?
Ain't shit slapping like a Dr. Dre beat.
It wasn't a Dr. Dre beat, though, but it was a perfect sample for that mindset that he was in.
I didn't like Ice Cube until he started getting by himself.
He was by himself, though.
I'm talking about, like, shit. What was that on?
No Vaseline was on,
Was it on, The Predator? Or was it on Lethal Injection?
Was it The Predator?
Because that's, like, one of my favorite albums. I don't think it's on The Predator. The Predator is an amazing album.
I honestly
don't. We finna do our Googles.
But, yeah, man, like, damn, what was it called, bro? It's called Death Certificate.
Death Certificate. It was on Death Certificate.
92,
bro. That's like,
that's when he was with was Interscope?
I don't know, but I know he was lynch mob the fuck out.
Like, yeah, he was lynch mob. He was lynch mob. At that time, lynch mob was just a group.
Yeah, like them niggas, bro. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but I feel like when Dr. Dre and them came on the scene, it was just like they hijacked the whole shit.
Yeah, because they had a plethora of artists, bro.
Yeah, it's like they hijacked the game for like a little bit, bro.
Bro, I mean, Snoop.
Snoop, was he kicked, like, had, that's all you need, really, because that motherfucker.
D.O.C. You had,
Daz and Corrupt.
Corrupt, you Daz.
Had, who was the dude? Danny Boy? He was a nice addition, Danny Boy. Let me see you toss it. Who is that? Is that Danny Boy on Toss It Up? Let me see you toss it up.
I don't know, honestly. I can't.
Bro, Danny Boy was over there. They brought MC Hammer over there.
They brought MC Hammer over there?
Yeah, MC Hammer was on Death Row. Yeah.
I thought he was with up there in the Bay with E-40 and Too Short.
I don't know. I think he was like, I think he had got signed later on.
Okay.
And then you had, of course, you got Tupac that came later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, damn. But you know, like, not to make this, but you know who I feel like was built to last?
Who?
Bad Boy.
No, I don't think they were built to last.
Well, they lasted for so long.
Yeah, but they lasted because of the boost that Biggie had passed away. So
it don't matter how you stay in the game as long as you're in it.
Yeah, that's fine, though. But if Biggie hadn't passed away, right, he would have created Junior Mafia, right?
Yeah.
I think every artist would have went to Junior Mafia. Because artists didn't respect Puffy like.
Bro, which one of them artists did that well after Biggie besides Lil Kim?
Because Biggie passed away.
That shit wouldn't have been that. Them niggas wouldn't spit us like that.
The last artist, right, that was about to blow before Biggie
Lil
passed.
Lil C's?
And Bad Boys was Craig Mack.
Craig Mack. Did he sign him?
That's what I'm saying. With Bad Boys, though. He was the last artist that was actually about to blow, right? Yeah. And probably Faith Hill.
Faith Evans.
Oh, I'm sorry. Faith Evans. But when Biggie died, Craig, literally everything became stopped. Like, it was halted, it was stopped. So Junior Mafia was on a come up. Yeah. They already put out that album. I think it was self-titled Junior Mafia, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
But, and that album sold double platinum. That album was good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, Junior Mafia was on the come up, bro. So, it was like, imagine Biggie would have been alive still.
Yeah.
And he would extract more artists. Craig Mack eventually would have went to Junior Mafia.
You think so? But that's not where the money was.
No, it doesn't matter, though, because it was a startup label.
That's what I'm saying. The money not going to be that well, so... I mean,
Lil Kim though. Look at Lil Kim. If the money was not coming in like that, Lil Kim album. Yeah. What's it called? The one that has that song Crush on You.
I don't know where that album
I think it was called Lil Kim, whatever. Yeah. I think it's subtitled. But the album wouldn't be successful like the way it was if the money wasn't coming, because they had the right producers. They had Biggie writing most of her bars and shit.
Yeah, free.
It, free of charge. Then you had niggas that was actually giving her the hooks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you had people that was multi-talented plus Biggie. You had artists that was also talented.
Yeah.
Lil C's was going to come up. You know what
I'm saying? But that's by way of Diddy.
True. Diddy was the architect of all that.
So,
but them leaving Bad Boy.
And Lil' Kim was founded by Biggie.
No. Lil' Kim was founded by Biggie.
That's what I'm saying. I said Biggie.
I thought you said Diddy.
No, yeah. Biggie. So, it's quite natural that she gonna stick with him. That's just true. Like, that's loyal. But I'm talking about if you're a free agent in the game, and you looking at, say you Craig Mack. Mm-hmm. Why would you go sign with that label and not go with the major?
Because the major wouldn't be the major without their number one artist.
Okay.
Which is Biggie. Because.
But how does that it takes a lot to build a label.
True. But if you know that Biggie is the best artist out of New York right now, right? And even if we fail at Junior Mafia, right? Wherever he lands at, Def Jam, whatever, I know he's going to look out for me. Because why? He looked out for Lil' Kim, mm-hmm. for Lil' C's.
Yeah.
So therefore, and the relationship between him and Puffy at the time was not going well.
Biggie?
It wasn't going well.
For real?
In 96, because when Tupac died, Biggie kind of felt guilty for that shit, right? The whole East and West Coast shit, Biggie kind of felt guilty for that shit.
I seen an interview, he didn't look guilty.
No, he felt guilty. I didn't say he looked guilty. He felt guilty for that. Because the fact that Tupac was saying that the East Coast, West Coast is because...
No, I'm saying, like, he didn't... The way he was talking about it was just like...
Yeah.
He didn't want that.
He didn't want that. Because why? He's a wholesome dude.
Yeah.
You know who wanted that shit? P. Diddy. Because that means it's more exposure for Bad Boys. He wanted that shit. Man. Biggie didn't want that shit. That's why he created Junior Mafia.
Junior Mafia had already been created, though.
But they were a group. They weren't a label.
Oh, he started the label.
Like, if you look right now, it was called Conspiracy. That was their first album. Junior Mafia's first album. In 1996.
Crap, you just, if you love
it's called Conspiracy.
I know that shit.
Yeah, yeah. So that album was produced by Junior Mafia. It was probably distributed by Bad Boys.
It had to be.
But it was produced by Junior Mafia. So there was a come up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And at that time, P. Diddy was still getting his checks and shit, but he didn't have Biggie on his roster like that because he was tied to Junior Mafia.
But that's like that Lil Wayne shit with Young Money, Cash Money. Even though you got your own shit,
mm-hmm.
nigga, like you gonna get your cut of your own shit.
Yeah.
But what you do as an artist, we're gonna get a piece of.
Of course.
And then we're gonna get a piece of your artist
because you started a contract.
That's how Cash Money was getting the pieces of Drake and Nicki. Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's like, just because you got your own, we finna get all that shit. We get paid off all that shit.
And that's what Birdman was still getting paid until he stopped getting paid.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's like a label owner's number one thing to get artists and to get, like, so they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And to get, no matter what your idea is for your company or whatever, mm-hmm. it gotta make money to work. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Birdman and them just got caught up in the money, and Diddy and them just got caught up in the money of it.
Of course, because they didn't see the overall vision of the artist that left them.
Yeah,
they didn't. They always thought they was all gonna be there,
and they wouldn't leave. Like, Lil Wayne was the only person. Like, everybody had left. Juvenile, BG, all of them had left. It was just Wayne.
Turk left.
It was just Wayne. And he had to carry that shit on his back.
But he did, though.
He carried it wonderfully.
Bro, he did for 5 years.
That is the GOAT. That is the greatest rapper ever.
Mm.
That is my greatest rapper ever.
Well, it is opinionated, but I don't think you have much to make a a single argument about that, though. Because you talking about mixtapes. His mixtapes outweigh his albums a lot more.
And I'm talking about the way you spit. Just pure spitting.
Okay, just pure spitting. Okay.
It got to be Hove up there with Wayne. That's it.
Just both of them, that's it?
And I like Rakim. wait. I ain't gonna lie, bro. Wait. I've been listening to that shit, like, on the real, like, I like to listen to all type of music, like, all type, you know what I'm saying?
I went back and listened to
Rakim. Mm-hmm. The way he put shit down, I like that shit very, very well.
So, when you listen to Rakim, right, and you hear the way he's rhyming, the way his flows, it comes effortless, right? Yep. It's just more like he's not even trying. But then you hear Wayne. Which is also effortless because he's not really trying.
And he's not writing.
And he's not writing. Yeah. And also that might be, you know what I'm saying, a little notch to his to reason why he's not the best. But that's besides the point. I won't even throw that in there right now. But then you listen to Jay-Z, right?
Yep.
And the way he rhymes and the way it seems effortless, right?
He don't write either.
He does write.
Jay-Z don't write.
The whole Reasonable Doubt album, he wrote for that album, bro.
He did?
That whole album, his first album, Reasonable Doubt, he wrote from first track all the way to track number 13 or 14. He wrote everything. Besides the hooks just came natural when he was in the booth. And also he had featuring artists like Mary J. to sing the hooks and shit. But yes, he wrote his lyrics for literally everything. He even said it when he was in that documentary. Because remember that song, Dead President?
Yeah.
They was talking about that song because it's one of the greatest songs of all time, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about...
It is.
They're talking about how he came prepared for that song and how the beat just marinated with his voice and all that. But he was like, yeah, I wrote for that song.
Yeah.
So...
You had to, because think about the words on that shit, on that Dead President.
There was so many damn, like, straight innuendos to what he was really talking
about.
But
I feel like when that album, after the album, I don't think he wrote anymore.
Like, okay, so after that, it was the Lifetime of a...
Great album. Lifetimes of Sean Carter Volume 1.
Yeah, I didn't like that album.
That's the one with...
I thought it was good, I didn't think it was great.
The Streets Is Mine?
Street Is Mine, yeah.
I have that CD in my car. That's crazy. That's what I be jamming, like when I'm not listening to, like, my phone or some new shit that I'm listening to.
Right after that was a Hard Knocks Volume 1.
I didn't like that one. I like Volume 1, bro. That's the one with Too Short on it.
That was Volume 1.
Which one?
Hard Knocks Volume 1.
That's the one with the Annie song on it?
That was the one with Annie song.
I think I got Volume 2 then.
Hold on.
Because it's a burnt CD.
Right. You say it's a burnt CD?
Yeah, like
back in the day, burnt CD?
Yeah, bro. I had got it from my dad a long time ago.
Yeah, bro.
I just keep some in the car just to jam some shit.
Bro, I'm going to tell you a funny ass story, right? So back in like 2010, right? Was cleaning out my uncle's garage. Yeah. And he's living in his house since I was younger, bro. And I found this burnt CD, right? And it had no little scribbles on it. So it's just a basic CD.
Yeah.
Because you know how burnt CD, you had to like write.
Yeah, you had to write, on that shit. The whole blank.
Yeah, it was blank, bro. And my CRV, the one I have right now, has a CD player, which is like rare. So I put that bitch in the CD player, bro. And it was a Lil Wayne mixtape, right? Mm. And it had this song. It's called Don't You Forget About... Fuck, bro. I forgot the damn song title, but it was a Lil Wayne mixtape, bro, from like 2006.
Ooh, I bet you I know it. Please give me some type of...
It wasn't 500 Degrees.
Nah, that's an album.
No, 500 Degrees was a mixtape.
500 Degrees...
was a mixtape.
Is it? What am I
thinking? The first album was Carter 1.
No, boy, hell no.
Nigga, what?
Wait, Google this shit.
The first album...
500 Degrees is an album.
Listen, if you go to Apple Music right now, right...
500 Degrees is on there.
It's not on there.
I bet you.
How much you want to bet?
I bet you. Waffle House.
Okay, bet.
500 Degrees.
Dinner at Waffle House right now?
Dinner at Waffle House.
Bet, okay. Because I'm telling you, bro, 500 Degrees.
And we're going to end it on this note. We're going to do our positivity and get out of here after I prove you wrong.
You think you're not going to prove me wrong?
you're wrong. I know, Lil Wayne. This is my guy.
Oh, my shit. Guy. Okay.
Lil Wayne is my favorite rapper ever, bro.
You got me on that one. You got me.
Yes, sir. Bro. Let's go. All right,
sir. General Waffle House. You got me, sir.
Give the people some positivity before we get out of here.
Hey, man. Life is but a journey, but it's short, but it's long.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of like how you make it be, but enjoy the fruit of whatever life gives you.
Hey, man. And like I always say, keep going. Whatever it is, man, just take care of your mental health and just keep going, man. Just create a family. Do something. Just keep going.
Remember that line from Kanye? He's like, from Big Brother? He's like, once you give the people the flowers before they can't smell them.
Yeah. Bro, why was J.C. hoeing them like that?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Jay-Z, bro. Jay-Z is always going to be...
Damn, that nigga hoeing that nigga.
Look how he even hoed out Dame Dash, bro.
Bro, that's kind of tricky, but we'll get into that on another episode. Hey, you guys be good out there, man.
I salute you, man. Hey, stay love, one love, positive.
Yes, and be great.